There's a lot of different ways to read the Gospels. You know, you can just pick it up and you read it and something comes into your head. You know, the Spirit helps you to respond to the Gospel. You get an idea, it inspires you or whatever. Something happens. But sometimes it helps to listen to what scripture scholars have to say about a particular passage. That can help us to understand in a different way, in a better way sometimes, what's going on and what the scriptures are trying to tell us. When scripture scholars look at a gospel passage like today's, they ask themselves, what in the passage can be traced back to Jesus and what was added by the evangelist? They try and figure out what words actually were spoken by Jesus and what words were put in Jesus' mouth by the gospel writer. You know, Matthew was not a stenographer following Jesus around, taking, you know, that just wasn't the way the Gospels were written. The trouble is, this is not an exact science. It requires some guessing and speculation, but this kind of scholarship can help us to get a deeper understanding of what's going on in a parable like this. Jesus undoubtedly told a parable about a king having a banquet to which he invited guests who refused to come. The parable is in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, and also in a gospel attributed to Thomas. The parable was addressed by Jesus to the elders and chief priests, who refused to accept his preaching. In the parable, they are compared to those who refused to come to the party. Since they refused the invitation, others are invited, including tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners. Years later, as this parable is being retold in the Christian community, circumstances have changed. In the year 70, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and its temple. The evangelist, therefore, kind of, you know, updates the story to reflect current events. He adds to the parable the part about the king sending his army to destroy those murderers and burn their city. In fact, Matthew totally recasts the story. Now the banquet is not for the king, but for the king's son, who is the resurrected Jesus. Jesus is no longer preaching the gospel. This is done by the servants who are sent out, the apostles who go out and invite people to the banquet. Some of those who are invited first, namely their fellow Jews, refuse to come. Some persecute and kill the king's servants. The king then destroys their city, just as Jerusalem was destroyed. The king then sends his servants out to the byroads and invites the poor and the outcasts. They invite the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. Matthew was disappointed because his Jewish brothers and sisters did not join him in celebrating the kingdom of God, which comes through the resurrected Jesus. Thus, Matthew has changed the cast of characters in the parable. In the parable of Jesus, those who refuse to come to the banquet are the elders and the chief priests. For Matthew, those who refuse to come are the Jews of the synagogues. For Jesus, those who take their place are the Jewish prostitutes, tax collectors, and sinners. For Matthew, it is the Gentiles who take the place of the Jews. As time went on, Matthew continued to preach this parable, but he noticed a certain amount of smugness in his congregation. When he told the parable, he could see the Gentile Christians nodding and saying, "Yeah, that's right. The Jews refused to come, but we came. Aren't we wonderful?" At this point, Matthew adds an epilogue to the parable. He says the bad as well as the good are invited to the banquet. Throughout his gospel, Matthew makes this point repeatedly, that the Christian community is made up of sinners as well as saints. It is not the job of church leaders to separate the good from the bad. That will be done by God when he comes in judgment. Matthew adds the story about the king finding a man without a wedding garment. The addition does not fit very well into the earlier part of the parable. After all, if the servant invited the lowly and the outcasts and the poor, how could they afford a wedding garment? At this point, we have to remember that this story is an allegory. The wedding garment represents Christian discipleship. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, tells them to put on Jesus Christ, to put on Christ like a garment. He tells the Colossians to put on, as God's chosen people, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience. The message to Matthew's congregation is clear. Don't be complacent just because you are a member of the Christian community. You will be judged by your love, your compassion, the charity you extend to those in need. About 25 years ago, this parable was lived out in a contemporary form by a young woman in New York City who was engaged to be married. She reserved a church, she rented a banquet hall, paid for the food. A week before the wedding, the groom got cold feet. The caterer said, "Sorry, non-refundable payment." So she went to a homeless shelter, invited the homeless to be her guests at her reception. Rather than letting her fiancé's rejection humiliate and destroy her, she, like God, turned a tragedy into a blessing. Now, Matthew kept rewriting this parable, kept changing it as he preached it. What would Matthew do with this parable today if he were here with us? Well, maybe it would go something like this. The reign of God may be likened to a king who gave a banquet for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the banquet. But the servants did not go. Rather, they spent their time arguing about the language in the menu and about who was going to be the maitre d'. In fact, there were not enough servants to send because the maitre d' would not hire women, gays, or married persons. A third of the invitations put into the mail came back addressee unknown, because people had moved out of the kingdom. The servants, being old men, did not know how to use Facebook and Twitter to send out invitations. Fewer than a quarter who actually got the invitations actually came. People were too busy. Too busy working, shopping, and playing. Some came in cutoffs and tank tops, not because they were poor, but because they really didn't take it all that seriously, didn't really care. They came, but they did not greet the king, nor did they talk to the other people at the party. They fell asleep during the boring speeches. They did not sing the songs played at the banquet, but kept checking their iPhones for messages. The servants refused to serve some of the guests because they did not follow the club's rules. Much of the food went to waste, and only a little was given to the poor. The king, when he saw this, got angry. He said to the servants, "Why do you quarrel among yourselves when my banquet hall is half empty? Why do you not feed my guests? You are worthless servants." And he said to those who came to the banquet, "My friends, how is it that you came in here not properly dressed? Why do you not greet me? Why do you not talk to your neighbors? Why do you not celebrate and sing?" And they had no answer. The king said to him, "I am angry with this people. I will leave them and go where I am appreciated." So the king packed his bags and moved south to a land where the peoples had brown and black faces. The people rejoiced when the king came because they wanted to be liberated from tyranny and oppression. When the king invited them to a banquet, the hall was filled with dancing and singing and laughter. This might be the gospel of the Lord.